Welcome to Zydus Life Sciences Limited Quarter 3 FY23 Earnings Conference Call. Please note that all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Executive Director of Zydus Life Sciences. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our post-results teleconference for the quarter ended December 31st, 2022. For today's call, we have with us Dr. Sharvil Patel, Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Parekh, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Arvind Bothra, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations, and Mr. Alok Garg, Senior Vice President from the Managing Director's office. I hope you have gone through the quarterly results, investor presentation, and press release, which are available on our website and also filed with the stock exchanges. First of all, let me quickly run you through the Q3 FY23 consolidated financial performance. We registered revenues of 43.6 billion rupees, up 20% year-on-year, led by a robust growth across businesses. Our key markets, namely India and the U.S., also registered double-digit growth during the quarter. Reported EBITDA for the quarter was 9.6 billion rupees, up 27% year-on-year and 17% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 21.9%, which is an improvement of 130 basis points on a year-on-year and 220 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA margin expanded in spite of a 180 basis points increase in R&D investment on a sequential basis, as well as a certain one-time REMS setup cost during the quarter for an upcoming U.S. launch. EBITDA margin for the 9 months of FY23 stood at 20.7%. Profit after tax for the quarter was 6.2 billion rupees, up 24% on a year-on-year and 19% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, led by improved EBITDA margin. We are confident of sustaining the growth momentum across our key markets, led by strong product pipeline and focused execution efforts. Now, let me take you through the operating highlights for the third quarter of FY23 for our key business segments. Our India geography, which comprises of the formulations and consumer wellness business, accounted for 40% of the total revenues during the quarter and grew 13% year-on-year. The India geography continues to deliver double-digit growth in the current fiscal, adjusted for COVID-related revenues in the formulations business last year. The formulations business in the India geography sustained strong momentum and posted revenues of 12.3 billion rupees, up 14% year-on-year. Excluding revenues from COVID-related products and divested brands during Q3 and for the first 9 months of the current fiscal, the business delivered a robust growth of 16% and 12% respectively. Overall, we outpaced the market growth during the quarter. We gained market share and improved our ranking in the gynecology, anti-diabetic, and nutraceutical portfolio during the quarter on a year-on-year basis. Our first new chemical entity, Lipaglyn, continued to expand its reach by growing its patient base by 45% in 2022. It has now benefited almost 1.5 million patients since its launch. The brand was ranked as the 59th largest brand in the Indian pharmaceutical market during Q3 FY23, a gain of 35 positions versus Q3 FY22. Our consumer products business, consumer wellness product business, recorded revenues of 4.1 billion rupees, up 8% year-on-year. Inflation, which hurt margins over the last few quarters, is cooling down in key inputs except milk, where it still remains high. However, we have taken appropriate price increases to counter this, the impact of which will be reflected from the next quarter. Now, let me take you through the performance of our US formulations business. The business accounted for 46% of the consolidated revenues during the quarter, with sales of 19.3 billion rupees and registered a robust 13% growth sequentially. Growth during the quarter was mainly led by volume expansion in our base portfolio as well as seasonality. The business delivered sequential growth during each quarter of the current financial year, which is a healthy sign for business momentum. We launched 6 new products during the quarter. Recently, in the month of January 2023, we launched Topiramate Extended Release Capsules, the first generic player to launch the product. We filed 9 additional ANDAs and received 14 new product approvals, including 3 tentative approvals during the quarter. Approvals for the quarter include the receipt of final approval for Estradiol Transdermal System twice weekly. It is the first transdermal product approval from our Moraiya site. On the emerging markets front, the business continues to deliver double-digit growth as it posted revenues of 3.1 billion rupees, up 15% year-on-year, excluding revenues from COVID-related products. The business maintained growth momentum on the back of robust performance across key markets. During the quarter, we filed our first ANDA from the newly constructed oral solids formulation manufacturing in our Ahmedabad SEZ, known as SEZ-2. Now, this concludes the business review. I would now request Dr. Shervil Patel to take you through the key drivers across businesses and initiatives in our innovation program. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nayak, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to have you on the call today. We are pleased with our quarter three FY23 performance, particularly with the fact that the India and the US, the two largest geographies for us, continue to deliver robust performance led by the different strategic initiatives and focused execution. We remain committed to investing in our future to drive sustainable and profitable growth by building a diversified portfolio of differentiated products in generics, complex generics, biologics, and NCEs. Over the last 2 years, our various strategic initiatives in India formulations business that includes focused brand building initiatives, intense marketing efforts, keeping patients' need in the mind, expanding distribution reach, leveraging digital platforms, and driving our innovation pipeline of novel molecules and biosimilars have enabled the business to deliver steady double-digit growth in the current fiscal year. Our aim is to outperform the market growth over time. Our US formulations business too delivered good performance in all quarters so far, driven by timely launches of new products and volume gains in existing products. Our wide product pipeline and focused BD&L efforts lend good visibility on new products, which are critical to offset the impact of price erosions in the base portfolio and boost growth prospects in our US generics. Our nimble and agile supply chain and a network of regulatory compliant manufacturing facilities equip us to capitalize on opportunities which keep arising in the US generics market. Going forward, we remain focused on adhering to highest quality standards across our manufacturing footprint and to monetize our deep product portfolio in the US generics business. We are taking calibrated measures to build out our specialty business over the medium term. Our goal is to improve the health outcomes for patients in dire need of therapies to treat the rare and orphan diseases. On the innovations front, we continue to make steady progress, which help us move further in our mission to improve the patient's health in an affordable manner. Lipaglin, our first NCE, continues to improve its rank in the IPM with the addition of new patients. Bilypsa, which is the only available treatment for NASH indication, has picked pace at it as it addresses an unmet medical need. A biosimilars portfolio has made the treatments affordable and accessible for patients and have registered strong volume growth consistently. With this, let me talk to you about some material developments on our innovation front. On the NCEs front, as you all know, Saroglitazar Magnesium is currently undergoing a phase 2B3 clinical trial for PBC indication for the US market. During the quarter, we also received approval from the Ministry of Health of Spain, Iceland, and Argentina to conduct our phase 2, phase 3 clinical trials for PBC indication. This will help us recruit patients faster and complete our trials on a given time. So far, 54 patients have been enrolled for the clinical trials of saroglitazar magnesium in the US for polycystic ovary syndrome and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease indications. Currently, it's the only ongoing trial in the world for PCOS and NAFL indications. We initiated phase 2 clinical trial in India for ZYIN489, a novel potential single dose cure and cure for anti-malaria, for a cure for malaria and anti-malarial drug candidate. Coming to our biologics and vaccines pipeline, we initiated clinical trials in India for biosimilars of 2 monoclonal antibodies in the oncology space during the quarter. We continue to add more programs to build a robust biologics pipeline to aid future growth. We have also received approval from DCGI to initiate phase 2 clinical trial for one of our vaccines during the quarter. On the specialty front, our wholly owned subsidiary Sentinel Therapeutics launched an early access program for Nulibry to improve global distribution network for the product and in turn expedite delivery of life-critical medications to the patients across the world. We filed a new drug application for one of our products in the areas of metabolic disorder through the 505B2 route. Thank you. And now we can start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may raise your hand from the participant tab on your screen. Participants are requested to use headphones, earphones while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. So the first question would be from Sayan Mukherjee.
Yeah, am I audible? Hello.
Yes.
Hi, sir. So I just wanted to understand the domestic business growth. We have seen good growth now for some time. In your commentary, you mentioned about market share gain in some of the areas like gynecology, diabetes, nutraceuticals. But you know, the bigger segments that you have, cardio, anti-infectives. So I'm just wondering, how the growth has come without those segments delivering. If you can give some more color, just want to understand sustainability of this growth. And secondly, on your innovation molecule, particularly saroglitazar, how should we think about the penetration of the molecule? You've got, approval for various indications here. You mentioned 1.5 million patients. So what's the kind of, peak level of patient volume and revenues that you're looking from this product? How should we think about that? Thank you.
So I think on the overall side, first, the important thing is our secondary sales have shown a good double-digit growth and have grown faster than the market. So I think overall, we have shown strong growth. The other market shares on other therapies is not that we are down or anything. They're nearby to the levels of what the market growth has been, but we are talking about where we have significantly gained share. With respect to saroglitazar, as I already said, is doing significantly well. It has jumped almost 40 plus ranks to become the 59th product. And we believe that, as I had always said, that we believe this product will become the top 25 products of India in terms of its capacity and can grow beyond that. It's just a very initial days. We have got full indications of NASH and NAFLD now, and that will allow us to significantly expand the patient base. So the product is growing very well and contributing well to the growth and the overall volumes of the business, and as a strong patient-assisted program that we run on saroglitazar. So that is helping us track the effectiveness of the molecule, which will continuously aid to the further growth of the product.
So just one clarification, if I can ask, you know, my understanding is that this product is materially big in the diabetes and associated indication, and for the liver diseases, NASH and, you know, liver, fatty liver, it's not very large. Is that understanding correct? And incrementally, is that going to change, particularly fatty liver being a bigger indication? How should we think about that?
So there are two, three indications. One is the metabolic, I mean, if it works in the overall metabolic syndrome. So if you first take the fats and triglycerides, it has a tremendous impact on that. And the earlier indications were for patients who were diabetic and who had dyslipidemia. So that is definitely a good market. But the prescription size, prescription length and duration of that indication sometimes is not as long. With the indication of NASH and NAFLD, the prescription period is very long in terms of treatment protocols. You have to go for years of treatment to reverse NASH and NAFLD. So that is one important aspect of this. And if you look at competing molecules, they are significantly larger currently, and these are not even approved indications for them. So we believe that the NASH and NAFLD is a very big indication in India. There's a high amount of undiagnosed patients in this area. We run the largest number of fibroscans in the country now, and we want to even double that down. So with the strong level of diagnosis that we are running, we believe that the patient pool is quite significant. And early on, we are seeing good traction on this.
Okay. So my second question would be on the US. You know, there's a good growth quarter on quarter. Now you mentioned about some expenditure on an upcoming launch. You are putting some money on the REMS program. So if you can share some color on that launch, is that significant? And in general, you know, given the seasonality, et cetera, and contribution from Revlimid, how should we think about US numbers for the coming quarters?
So the US numbers, we believe for the coming quarters will continue to be strong. With the launches of new products, and specific to the REMS, that is an important REMS program that we have initiated because we believe we will have a launch in the coming year. And for that, we had to go and pay for that REMS. So that has a good business plan and a good growth potential for that REMS program product. And with topiramate Trokendi launch also, we'll see further value addition to the US business. So I think overall the business will track well quarter on quarter going forward, at least for the next 2 to 3 quarters.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join back.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Tarang Agarwal.
Hi, good evening. I have two questions. One, you spoke about for the US business, you spoke about volume expansion. So was it perhaps because of the current flu conditions in the US, or you see the overall market to be improving in terms of channel having destocked? That's one. The second is, in terms of biosimilars, you've got a broad portfolio, but the portfolio for the time being seems to be restricted to India and lesser regulated markets. So how should we see your journey here in terms of trying to approach the developed markets? That's it for me. Thank you.
Yeah. So first to the US, the seasonality of the portfolio is only $5 million. So the overall contribution is not significant, but it is there. The overall growth, as I said, has been driven from all three areas. The new products, the base business, both have contributed meaningfully to the growth of the business and the higher run rate that we are now running. With respect to biologics and biosimilars, our always a strategy has been in India / some emerging market plan. And currently, we are tracking extremely well on India. And overall, the business is in good health in India, both in terms of obviously our business in terms of revenue, but also profits. And going forward, once we get more approvals in developing countries, we would see that number increasing. So our strategy is only linked to these two geographies, the rest of the world and India. And that is where we want to build for it. And we have a lot of plans for more launches, at least 2 to 3 new launches coming up over the next 2 years. So the portfolio, which is currently 14, will continue to expand.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Neha Manpuria.
Thanks for taking my question. So, we saw an increase in the R&D spend in the quarter, which I understand, is related to the, progress on the pipeline. As we, make more progress on the trials for saroglitazole, how should we see this number? Could this trend up further? I know it's within our guidance range of the 7 to 8%, but on an absolute basis, how much could it trend up further as we make progress?
So R&D, for the R&D spend, we believe that our investments will remain in that 7 to 8% range for FY23. The lumpiness of this quarter is just, R&D spends are not even all throughout the year. So you do see that. But our guidance for the current financial year remains intact. Going forward also, we have said that, our R&D spends will be around 8 to 9% maximum in the medium to long term. But currently, we are comfortable at the 7 to 8% R&D spend range.
Understood. And thereafter, probably in the 8 to 9% range.
Much later, probably we'll see. It's very difficult to predict 2-3 years down the line, but at least short term, we are looking at around the 8%.
Understood. And my second question is, the REMS one-time cost that you mentioned, would it be possible to quantify that? How much of the other expenses increase is because of this REMS cost?
It's $8 million.
$8 million. Understood. And we don't see this. This is just a setup cost. We don't see this recurring.
There is a recurring, but it's not significant. This is mainly the setup cost.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Bino Pati Parampil.
Hi. Good afternoon and congrats on a good set of numbers. Just one question on this 505B2 that you filed. You say that it's for a metabolic disorder. When you say metabolic disorder, are you talking about the diabetes, obesity sort of things, or is it a genetic enzyme deficiency sort of disorder?
So we have a portfolio in this. We already had filed one product earlier, and this is the combination products that we're filing. So we will be in this franchise, we will have maybe around 3 filings total. So this is the second filing.
Okay. And is it like a peptide or something?
No, it's a small molecule.
Small. Okay, great. I'll join back the queue. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Kunal Damisha.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. First, just one clarification. I think as far as I remember earlier, we were pursuing NASH indication for saroglitazar in US as well. So is it still continuing, or we are kind of pivoting towards NAFLD?
So currently the trials in the US, the most immediate ones are PBC trials, which we believe are the near term ones. And we are still continuing with the phase 2 trials for NASH. And as we progress on the key milestones on NASH, we'll come back to you. But we are also testing for other indications like PCOS and NAFLD also. But the NASH trial is ongoing.
Sure, perfect. And on the PBC trial, when do you expect in terms of readout, or if you can share any progress in terms of the enrollment, etc., where are we currently?
So we hope to finish enrollment in the next 2 quarters. If everything goes right, and then after the follow through, we hope late 24 or early 25 filing, if we are able to achieve that timeline.
Okay, perfect. And this second question on the same thing, earlier we were thinking about having a strategic partner. So is that still on the cards for these kind of specialty R&D, or we are going to do it on our own.
So our current strategy on Saro for PBC is to do it on our own. But as we move forward and as we evaluate our timelines and competitive intensity, we will take an appropriate call. But currently, we are preparing for our own launch for Saro Glitazar.
Okay, perfect. And last, if I may, on the Revlimid side, would you, I'm not asking for any number, but on a qualitative or directionally, would the quarter three numbers be better than quarter two for us? Or how should we think about it? And whatever trend we are seeing right now, contribution, would that continue for the, let's say, next two quarters?
So quarter two, quarter three were similar. Quarter four, we'll see higher numbers.
Okay, perfect. And that is because of some player coming out of exclusivity, etc. Would that be the case?
No, it's the way there is a market share volume plan. So accordingly, we are able to take more share.
Perfect. Thank you. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Damayanti Kerai.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, great. My first question is on your Topiramate XR launch. So you are the first one to enter the market. So how do you see this opportunity in terms of competition over next 2-3 quarters?
So very difficult to estimate, but currently we are alone in the market and we still believe we hope that we still have the exclusivity, but we are not seeing any immediate launches. So it's currently we remain exclusive.
So you launched in January. So 6 months, you believe you will be the only generic in market, and
that we can't predict because FDA will not make a sort of a decision until they see a next generic. So because there are no next generic yet, FDA has not made that decision.
Okay. And my second question is, now you have two transdermal approvals from Moraya. What are the launch plan and when do you see a meaningful pickup from these opportunities?
So if everything goes well, we believe we will launch at least two transdermals in the next financial year. And if we do better, then maybe up to three. So currently that is the plan, and that would all three of them are meaningful launches.
Okay, and you have like all required setup from Moraya, and you might not need to invest anything additional for these launches.
We have already made the investments earlier.
Okay, my final question is, your CapEx is currently trending at around 10 billion for a year. So where are the major spend happening?
So the major CapEx is happening on our expansion of our oral SEZ2 facility. Some expansion that happened in the ZTL, transdermal area. We had a new line, injectable line that is getting commissioned. The new a new plant for MR for WHO pre-qualification, which is getting ready now, and some API projects.
Okay, and how do we see CapEx trending for coming years? Will it remain in similar range, or you are like broadly done with some of the major spend?
No, I think our this kind of base will remain because we are investing for our growth in different areas. So that this kind of range will remain.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Surya Patra.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is on the domestic formulation business. Sir, is it possible to share, excluding this biosimilar and the NC portfolio, what is the growth for the quarter and the 9-month period?
No, I don't think we are segmenting our business like that. So you know, when we push something, we are obviously doing it as a portfolio play. So I think we don't do businesses saying we do one business and then look at the other business.
So basically, sir, what sometime back that we have been emphasizing about the new launches and means basically the specialty and mass kind of approach that we had sometime back followed and discussed. So now, since we are not talking that way, so that is why I was trying to understand on the core portfolio.
I think for us, we look at India geography and the formulation business as a whole. So, you know, the strategy and investments will depend on where we feel the maximum growth will be driven from. So it's, we don't bifurcate like that. But so overall to say, even the base business, which is or the established products business of the company has done better than market.
Okay. Thank you. And the second question is on, let's say, on the Moraiya front, is it whether we have seen any kind of advantage in the current quarter from the Moraiya side? See, I'm not talking about the product launches, let's say, in terms of the cost or something like that, or increment? No.
Moraiya, okay. The main launches are the transdermals which will come.
Yeah, but in the cost front also, there isn't no saving, no. Right?
There is no saving.
Okay. And sir, is it possible to discuss something more about the Revlimid outlook? Like, how should we be thinking that, or how meaningful it could be? So, not giving any number, but at least of the overall kind of run rate, what we have been seeing for our US business. So, how meaningful this could be?
It is going to be meaningful, and Revlimid, as I said, in the next quarters will be better than the preceding quarters.
Okay. Just last one question, sir. See, obviously, you are one of the large integrated manufacturer of formulation as well as APIs. And obviously, currently, the trend what we are witnessing challenging trend for even API business. So could you share something, your view about the pricing volume trends in that API side, to be specific?
So I think for us, currently a large part of our strategic initiative is for our backward integration for our formulations and driving our first to market launches and first to file. So the API strategy that we are generally following is for largely driven for internal consumption. Having said so, we also want to expand in the other markets, but we are not a very large player in terms of third-party sales. There has been some slowdown overall in the market, as we see, because of last 2 years. But for us, the major critical part of the API business is for internal consumption. But we hope going forward, we'll see growth coming back for us because we are on a lower base.
Sure, sir. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Devang.
Yeah. Hi, sir. My first query is regarding the last quarters we have seen some of the pressures on the US markets, the pricing of the drugs. So is it continue in the current quarter, or what's the view for next two quarters? What is the view for that?
So our view still continues. We see a single digit price erosion in the US market, and we are not seeing anything majorly changing other than this guidance that we have given.
Okay, and the second question is the growth was seen as the mid-teen high levels, that would be of nearby 18% or something near to that. So is it the continue with the same prospects, or there are going to be the changes in the coming quarters or something like that for the quarter four also, and the for any 2-3 quarters for update?
As I said, at least it's difficult to predict the full year, but the next two quarters are looking better than the current quarter.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Sameer Baisiwala.
Samir, you are on mute.
Yeah, got it. Good evening, everyone. So first question is on the working capital side. Over last 9 months, looks like it has gone up much more than the sales growth. So if you can talk about it.
So Samir, partly it's also because of the business mix with higher growth coming from US, and US obviously has a longer working capital cycle compared to India business. And also, you know, the growth in emerging market, where also relatively compared to India business, the working capital cycle is higher. I think it's some business mix which is responsible. There are no other, you know, factors.
Okay, got it. And on transdermal from Moraya, one is estradiol. The second, you got PAI inspection in January. Is that correct? And the third one may come, and that's over and above this. And what about, I think
that... We got one estradiol approval and we had a PAI for three products. And that's the kind of portfolio right now that has been inspected.
Oh, I see. Okay. So which means that you may have four approvals in a short order of time, yeah?
It's potentially possible, yes.
Oh, and you said all four of them are going to be meaningful, yeah?
Three out of the four, at least, if I have to hedge.
Okay, that's great. And Sharad bhai, what's the outlook for margins? I know you've guided 21, 22 types, but you see this now change going forward?
So right now we are trending on the higher margins. And as you know, we have some exclusive products and all of that. So current outlook for the margins are looking much better at 21 plus. But I think for the full year, at least we believe we'll be better than the last year.
Okay, great. And one final question, and I have to ask this. So in your assessment, in your outlook for US, how are you thinking about Asacol HD competition, sir?
Pete, I think the good thing is obviously for us is that there is no competition right now. And with the new products that we are launching, where we have also sort of exclusivities as well as maybe differentiation as well as some of the new launches, I believe with that base will continue to grow. And we will, as I had always said, we will find ways to make up for the losses on Asacol. So I think that is already happening, but we have not lost Asacol yet.
6 months to 12 months is what you would guess if you
have... Whatever number, Samir, you want to take.
It's very difficult to
and
say,
just
but
that also.
Short term, I can only say first, at least the next quarter, nobody's there. Every quarter, maybe I can add.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Prakash Agrawal.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah,
just trying to understand this upcoming REMS product better. So there's a large investment that we have done. I mean, how do you think about this product? Could it be, you know, a largish product, $1 billion kind of product? And would it have exclusivity? Some color would really help, given we are making some large investments.
It is not exclusive. It will have some limited competition, but it is meaningful in terms of the investments that we have made.
And there's a setup cost.
And there's a setup cost, but the revenue we currently expect, obviously made that investment, assuming we are going to have better revenues. So.
Okay. And this is like a first half calendar year kind of opportunity, or it's already been...
It's a definitely an FY24 opportunity, maybe the second or third quarter.
Understood. Fair enough. And in the opening remarks, there was a mention of market share gains. So any particular trends we are seeing, and these are like little longer term trends, are we seeing, or is it like one, two large orders which have triggered this, or it could percolate to next many quarters?
So consistently, we have managed our base business well. So that is our strategy. And with the disruptions in the marketplace, we believe that we will continuously strive hard to not only manage it, but also make sure we don't do it profitably.
But when you say disruptions, you mean USFDA issues with others, or you mean other trends?
Mostly is to do with the supply chain, yes.
Okay, understood. Just wanted to understand transdermal opportunity better. So there is already some answer on two or three of the four opportunities. We have taken some time to get the approvals. Is the market already matured? The ramp up is slow, or there is definite position for the third and fourth player? How do we think about that opportunity over 6-12 months?
No, in the next 12 months, our current plans are showing that these will be meaningful launches for us.
Okay. Just to sum it up, so what I understand is there are few large meaningful opportunities which can, you know, take us to the, you know, a sizable step up. Then in terms of margins and R&D investments that we are doing, margins, you gave some color, but I mean, does it take us to 300-400 basis points higher, or we have a step up in R&D which will keep the margins at the current levels?
So I think let us complete the current year. Maybe in the next quarter, we can give some better understanding. But as I said, R&D investments on the generic side is sort of almost stable, and you don't see any major growth on that. So the investment that we'll be making will be on the NCEs and biologics, which are gradually going to scale up. And the EBITDA margins, as you have seen, there's room for improvement, and we hope we can continue to deliver better EBITDA margins.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite evident, right? I mean, the step up, I'm just trying to understand the scale of step up that we can see.
Currently, our estimates are looking that there will be a step up, but, you know, we can't predict the whole year. So.
Okay, understood. And top 2-3 priorities? Apart from NC, any other large investment or gaps that you see? And balance sheet is pretty strong.
No, for us now, the main thing is to execute on the new launches and continue to make sure what we are doing in India, we're able to keep on executing well there, and at the same time, grow these strategic brands that we have decided to do so.
Okay, lovely. Great, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question from Vishal Manchanda.
Thanks for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
So my question is on Oxemia. Can you share any feedback in terms of how the product is being accepted in the market?
So the product acceptance is very good. Right now we are seeing a lot of patients on people who are not on dialysis. Slowly, we would also want to add people who are on dialysis. So it will be a gradual build up once we're able to do enough work with the medical fraternity as well as the patients to show the better safety as well as the better care better compliance that we can see with an oral product. Also, with the approval of the same similar class of products by the US FDA. We also believe that some of the questions will get answered and we'll see better traction going forward.
Got it. So the US approval will help you promote the drug better in India.
Yeah, this class of molecules US FDA has approved it. Obviously, all products are not the same, but at least one small overhang will sort of reduce.
Yeah, so GSK got that approval a few days back.
Yes.
Okay. And second one on Asacol HD. So there's a settlement agreement in public that says you pay a royalty to the innovator. So since the patent has expired in November 2021, is the royalty still payable, or that royalty has been discontinued?
So I don't think we can discuss the confidential agreements right now, but that will be difficult to answer.
Okay. And third one on biosimilars, what was the growth you achieved in the 9-month FY23?
As I said, we biosimilars is part of the branded generics business. So I don't think we will give different numbers on that, but definitely it's trending better.
So better than the company growth. Is that
better than the market growth?
Okay. And so you also launched a drug called Rucaparib in India, which is a cancer drug. And you are among the few players to have launched that. Is that a large opportunity for you?
From the overall oncology play, yes, this will significantly add importance with the practitioners and the patient. And we also believe we would be adding 3-4 more products which are unique. So our oncology pipeline will continue to evolve in terms of being a meaningful one for all types of cancers beyond just the solid tumors.
Okay. And just one final one on CAN Assist, which you in-licensed from a company for breast cancer, basically. That's a diagnostic sort of a product. So has that been launched and any how is the product shaping up?
It has been launched and it's tracking very well. And I think, as I said, for us, the most important strategic drive for the future is to how do we bring better value for the patient? So this is our one of our attempts now that, you know, we can bring the right advice and right diagnostic and prognosis markers for the patients to make the right choice and for the doctors to make the right choice whether chemotherapy is required, and if required, then what could be the chemotherapy protocol. So I think it's a good step forward in terms of giving patients better patients and the doctors better access and better decision-making capability.
So patients have started to use this option to kind of go forward with the
doctors use it for the patient.
Doctors, basically doctors use this option.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you very much. Next question from Ankush Mahajan.
Yeah. Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Sir, I have checked the list of drugs that we got approval from US FDA from the last 1 year. So there are a few drugs like cariprazine and mirabegron, lenalidomide, that's zirevlimid, and braxpiprazole. So can you tell me the status of these four drugs?
So Revlimid, you already know it's launched. Many of the products that get approved have settlement dates for launch. So all products that get approved don't get launched on that approval date.
So when we can expect such these drugs in the market?
These are not in the short term. These are much later.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question from Kunal Randeria. Right, we'll move on to Neha Manpuria.
My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bino Pathiparampil.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Sharulbhai, this product for which you have invested in REMS, is that a transdermal transmucosal sort of product?
No, it's not a transdermal product.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Kunal Damisha.
Thank you for the follow-up. I just wanted to understand if you could provide a number in terms of how much we are spending on the specialty products, specifically for Saroglitazar in US, at least for first 9 months, so that we can better understand what is the P&L burn right now on this business, which is not generating revenue as of now.
So overall, 30% of our R&D spend is on all of these clinical programs that we are running of the total spend that we are doing.
Okay, great. And second on, again, going back on the REMS that we have done, is it a shared REMS program which we'll be sharing with other generic companies? Okay, so others would have also put in the similar amount?
I can't disclose all of that, but it is a shared REMS program.
Okay, or is it like we have put in higher amount, but we get them later on, you know, to pay some kind of fees?
So it's a shared REMS program. So I think you'll be able to understand the meaning of that. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have a question from Sion Mukherjee.
Yeah. Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, on the transdermal, what is the total number of filings you mentioned? With one approval already come in from Moraya, we'll have four approvals. So I just want to know what is the total number of pending approvals now on transdermal side?
We have filed 9 products, out of which 6 are pending approval. And one of them we are not going to commercialize, which is the approval for a fentanyl patch.
Okay.
And we do continue to file. We do have an expectation to file two, at least immediate, near basis, two more products.
Okay. And sir, I think a few quarters back, you mentioned around your partnership pipeline on injectable, certain exclusive products likely to be commercialized in calendar 2023. Are you on track for those launches?
Yes, we are hopeful that we will see at least 1 to 2 partner products launches.
So those would be exclusive? I mean, 180-day exclusive kind of products?
Not exclusive, but at least some of them have no generics.
And when do you expect, sir? First half or second half?
It's an approval cycle and these are complex products, but definitely in this calendar year.
Okay. And so one last question on your R&D program, 30% of program, I mean, R&D, you are saying on clinical program. So this proportion is going to go up in the next few years, right? And so is it going to be closer to 40-50%? Anything you can comment on?
So again, for a 3 year, I don't have that exact thing, but as you first guided to speaking, yes, it will definitely go up as a percentage of overall R&D spend. But now whether it becomes 40 or 50% is still too early to say. But I don't think it'll be a drastic jump because every year we are recruiting similar number of patients, so it'll be gradual unless we are seeing some major thrust on any critical program. But most of our programs are in indications that are not requiring a lot of patients. So we hope that we'll be able to manage our R&D expenses.
Okay. So I have just one last question, if you can take that. It is on M&A. I mean, you have done M&A in the past in consumer business, but we haven't seen much action on the formulation side. And, you know, there is a lot of assets which people are acquiring. What are your thoughts? Because there are gaps in your portfolio currently. So any thoughts on sort of plugging those through acquisitions?
So on the India business, I think our first priority that we believe is that we have our portfolio and the new pipeline of our own launches, we believe are sufficient for us to deliver better than market growth. And that's what we are driving towards executing. We do have gaps as every other, but I think currently we believe that our own portfolio concentrating on our own business would be more better. Having said so, we do evaluate all opportunities, but I think many of them at the prior multiples don't make sense for us to do because, you know, the growth will be challenged if they're more established. So I think focusing on our new launches and the products that we believe are important, like those 20 plus products, I think can drive the substantial growth that we want to drive for the medium term.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question from Surya Patra.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. So just can you clarify what is the gross debt number that currently we are having right now? In fact, I think in the quarter, it seems that, okay, you have paid something. It's for the credit rating report. So that's why.
Yes.
As on 31st December, gross debt was 1,816 crores. And net debt is 604 crores.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question from Vishal Manchanda.
Yeah, hi. On Saroglitazar, on the ongoing trial in primary biliary cholangitis, since you're recruiting patients from Europe as well, does that mean you can do a global filing if it is if the trials are successful?
Yes, for Saro, obviously as you said, we have recruited across different centers in US and Europe. So our initial plan is for the US market in terms of commercialization. But we will also be looking at how do we take it through partnership in other European markets.
Okay. And since this is a phase two, phase three trial, so would you be separately reading out the phase two data, or it'll kind of go into phase three and then you will share the data?
So the phase two will continue into the phase three. So the meaningful readout will be after the phase three is completed. So because the patients continue into the phase three. So
okay. So that should happen in FY25, the readout?
Yes.
Okay. And just one on CUTX-101. Is that approval due anytime now? And any progress on the testing?
So the newborn screening testing, we have, I think, had some good progress, and we hope by the time we have an approval, we are at least near to getting that test through. The approval is still pending, and because we have a licensed in product where it is manufactured by the licensing partner, so until they are able to get through with the filing and the approval, we have to still wait.
Okay.
But the exclusivity gets only triggered after launch.
Understood. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. Next question from Vibha Ravi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
So this is with regard to SEZ2. You spoke about a few projects there. You said there's the new oral solid plant. Then there's expansion of the transdermal area and some API projects. And so this, did you also mention this MMR vaccine plant for which you're seeking a PQ from WHO?
Yes, that also.
Okay, so what's the CapEx, you know, what's the kind of expenditure for these projects here at SEZ2?
So we are not breaking up individual capexes. SEZ2 is a meaningful capex overall in the overall scheme of things. But I said the overall 900 to 1,000 crore capex is broken up into these major factors.
Okay. And by when do you expect this PQ? Do you have any kind of a clue there?
So this is a little bit down the line. It's nothing on the immediate terms. The first PQ for us will be the typhoid conjugate vaccine one, and then we will do the filing for the MR. So it's definitely not in this calendar year.
Okay, fine. So could you just talk a bit more about how significant you expect this, you know, vaccine? You have spoken a bit in the past about it, but do you see that, you know, that given post-COVID, the importance of vaccines has like shot up considerably. What are your plans here and how big do you see this business growing?
So the business is, as I said, for both the PQ vaccines, which is the MR and TCV, they are part of the global immunization plans, including India immunization. Mm-hmm. The volumes that have been stated in terms of requirements are significant and large. And as I had said, we were looking at taking about 11 to 20% share of that. And that if you're able to be successful with the pre-qualification and meet the timelines of the tenders, it will be meaningful.
It will be very profitable.
And profitable.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much and look forward to interacting with you again in the month of May for the last quarter results. Thank you and good night and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Zydus Life Sciences Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines and exit the webinar. Good night. Thank you.